9543. Thank you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wake up, you sip hot tea, mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me the news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are you doing?
Rick Adams is on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Adams is here with you today. Another month, December 1st, 2018. It's good to be back, this weekly excursion that we have. And in these 2 hours, we can do a lot. We can actually get into subject matter and accomplish things that probably many others do not. So we're grateful for that. And you know, I have a special guest back again today in the first hour or so. And, of course, I'll introduce him to our listeners momentarily. I got to thinking, you know, because I meet so many church people from time to time in my travels, and invariably they are 501c3 churches. They're chartered by the government. They're tax-exempt status. And invariably, they don't even know what that means. The people I meet, the laymen, usually regurgitate what they've been spoon-fed by their pastors, who were spoon-taught, you know, by theologians and those in the, circles of theological cemeteries, as I like to call them. And I say to myself, can it be? Yes, it can be. That most of our people are totally in the dark, totally unawares of what lies they have embraced. And for that, in one sense, they're pretty much innocent, because they really don't know what's going on and who the big bad wolf is. They're looking all around and all through the forest. No searchlight. It's dark. No compass. And they don't know where to go. Well, that's why I go right to the scriptures. And I go right to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 3, and I think it's somewhere in verse 14, you know, we read about the churches that were not faithful to Christ. The churches that, well, he says he's going to spew out of his mouth when he comes. There were only two that were faithful of the seven. And, of course, the others, Laodicea, which I'm going to mention, Sardis, Pergamos, you know, Thyatira, and Ephesus were not faithful. They rejected the truth. They accepted the lies of the synagogue of Satan as the true Israelites. And so the Holy Spirit writes in Christ's words that with the Laodiceans, they write, these things saith they, amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And God said, through Christ, Christ himself said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. He says, so when that time comes, because thou art lukewarm and, unfortunately, neither hot nor cold, I will do what I just said, folks. I will spew thee out of my mouth, he says. So he's saying these churches, when he comes, which is about 99% of almost all of the official churches, will be found wanting, like King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. They'll be weighed in the balance, you see, found wanting. And they will be looking for a lot of mountains to hide under. They'll be admitting they were deceived, they were wrong, they were spewing forth lies. So we don't want that, you know. We don't want to be embracing these lies, these falsehoods. these deceptions that are so prevalent today that they unfortunately wind up being the cause for people rejecting the truth, thinking, if this is what Christianity is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. And I can't blame them, because it's not what Christianity is about. And Jesus made that very, very clear. He says, right, you know, I will spew thee out of thy mouth, because thou art neither cold nor hot. And he prefers that you be one or the other. If you want to be a liar, go ahead. If you want to be a truther, wonderful. But if you think you're in the middle, forget it. There's no middle ground. Only dead ducks and yellow lines are in the middle of the road, my friend. All right, so here we are today, December 1st, and I have back with me the scholar who has been here many times before. He and I go back a long time, as you know. We go back to the days of the Barnes Review and the American Free Press and Liberty Lobby, and he is Dr. M. Raphael Johnson. Matt Johnson, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on again, Rick. Yeah, you know, you and Tom Valentine were the two people who first interviewed me ever. And I think William McKinley was president back then. And, you're one of the best out there right now. Everything you said in this introduction was absolutely perfect. You know, there's few people we could trust out there in this struggle of ours. But you're one of them.
Well, thank you, Matt, and so are you. And I know your scholarship really has meant a lot to our listeners. So I want to get right into a couple of issues now. Of course, the first one is one that you drew to my attention, and that has to do with this Holocaust trial in Russia, or having to do with the act known as the Rehabilitation of Nazism Law in Russia that had been passed in 2009 or so, and then it was signed into law in 2014, and it apparently has remained a symbolic in its symbolic form since then. But prior to that, apparently you talked about, at least in your email to me, about how it was invoked. And apparently some Israeli by the name of Vladimir Kleiner, an Israeli, decided that he would come forth with charges against a particular Russian who did not believe the official version of the Holocaust story. So tell me about this. Now, let our listeners know about the mainstream publishers and those out of the mainstream who have come under attack in Russia.
Well, I think as a lot of people know, in Russia, you know, anti-Judaic feeling is mainstream. You know, major publishers, certainly church publishers, put out, you know, whether it be Holocaust denial stuff, all this, you know, constantly. So it's not marginal like it is in America. It's mainstream there. The law that was passed, which was formulated under Medvedev, president prior to Putin, really concerned protecting the state. It was almost like a defamation law concerning the Russian state and its history. It was the first law of its kind. It was called the Holocaust law in the West, and it wasn't. It was condemned by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch and the State Department. The same people who loved those kind of laws in Western Europe condemned the Russian version because the Jews aren't even mentioned in it. But in this particular case, the infamous Chabad organization, I can't do that guttural thing, that the Chabad organization in the Perm region, in the Urals in Russia, use this bizarrely to attack Roman Ushkov, who had, you know, published a whole lot of things on the Holocaust issue. And one of the first things he said was, you know, this is everywhere. This is on television. I could find this in the newsstand anywhere I go. But apparently, the Chabad organization had taken over the government in that town, and this man was fighting them. They were buying cars and land on the state's dime, and this guy not only fought them, but he won. It was a huge victory, and then suddenly, in revenge, these guys brought this suit against him. Because it had never been done before, right. That he had no fewer than three trials, and finally he was acquitted. And the jury was very clear. The jury said this law, first of all, isn't about Jews. And even if it were, it has, you know, it's really about, it has nothing to do with scholarship. Essentially, the law criminalizes the invention of false facts done with malice. So it would be no different than a defamation law in America and against the Russian state and against Russian history. And that's why it was condemned in the West. So, you know, when this was first passed, everyone was condemning Putin all over the place. I was getting phone calls constantly, and I was trying to explain to them that's not what this is. But even if it were that way, now, of course, it's a dead letter because the jury has been very, very clear. And even more than that, the church has come down on Ushkov's side and the state has come down on Ushkov's side. And the takeover of the Perm region by this Tabat organization is now national news over there, and it's really backfired on these people. So that's what's happened. So there was never a Holocaust denial law in Russia. The law concerned malicious attacks on Russia and the state being criminalized if it's done with malice, that kind of thing. But it never had anything to do with scholarship. Using it in a Holocaust way was bizarre, and they dragged this guy through the mud, but he had the entire country on his side, and he won yet again. So he's defeated the Shabbat organization numerous times, and they are absolutely humiliated. In fact, this man has actually gone to, there is an extremist law that was aimed at some of the Islamic groups who get their foreign funding mostly from abroad, and tried to bring suit against Shabbat and these Jewish radicals by showing them the Talmud. Yeah, you know, knowledge about the Talmud, again, is mainstream in Russia. People talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. How come these people aren't included in the, you know, if the Islamic radicals from Chechnya are included, how come these people aren't included? And he talks about, you know, they say that Gentiles are inhuman. The Messiah is going to bring everyone under our feet. How is this acceptable? Now, I've heard there's a Jewish newspaper in Russia called Kosher. They say that the government has thrown local chapters of Chabad out of the country on this ground. Now, I've not been able to corroborate that, but these guys are now panicking. And it really shows you, you know, again, it shows you what's really going on there. It's been the total media blackout in the West, of course. But that's the story.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I specialize in the area, and I can read it, and I know the language, and I know where to go. And that's why, you know, it's important that we specialize. We have our own area, and we're good at it, and you know, we could get deep into this stuff rather than surface stuff.
Sure.
So yeah, I broke this story. It's really important.
Yeah, it is important. Now, it was dubbed here for purposes of your email to me. You put it in quotation marks, the rehabilitation of Nazism, unquote, law in Russia. Was that part of the signator of it? I mean, was that part of the actual title of the law, or are you basically just giving it another name?
It's not the title of the law. It's the law that the Russian press used for a while.
I see. All right.
There was a commission that Medvedev had organized that the law was based on. And it was, you know, essentially it was entitled, I can't think of off the top of my head, but it was entitled the commission to protect the Russian state from malicious attacks from abroad. In other words, local subversive groups like Chabad that get most of their funding from outside of the country who seek to, you know, Chabad has organized protests against Putin many times, and they're doing it right now. And they're treading on thin ice here. So, yeah, it really is about protecting the Russian state's history from malicious attacks. It's never been used. I think there was one other time, and it was something really nasty. And you know, it's a symbolic thing. It's very vaguely worded, and it's a symbolic law. It does not criminalize the Holocaust and denial. And in this case, of course, proves that even if it did, it doesn't anymore.
Well, you know what's so ironic about it is this word that's bandied about Holocaust all the time. You know, if we go back, we know one meaning of it, and those who use it frequently have another meaning of it. And the ADL types, the Jewish supremacists, always like to make people aware that they have an exclusive right to that term, which, of course, to me, I really wouldn't want anything to do with the term anyway, because to me, biblically, there's a little inside joke here about what a Holocaust really is, a burnt offering, you see. But most people would never be aware of that, except people who study it like yourself and me. Nevertheless, having said that, I think what's interesting here is the fact that the Jewish supremacists have actually tried to get a basically a copyright, if you will, on that word Holocaust. And I'm sure you've heard of that movement going back some time ago. I mean, they want that word to have a trademark, and they want it to apply to them because, as they say, they have been the victims of a very a unique persecution. Not only in Russia and, of course, in Germany, but in France and in Poland and in Czechoslovakia and Hungary and all throughout the world, even as far away as Asia. This is their claim. So this word Holocaust is very interesting, the way they bandy it about. Isn't that so to you? Very interesting? Very odd.
It's interesting in the worst possible way, yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm confronted with this, I always say, you know, that the term implies that this is a unique case, far worse than any other case. It puts Jewish lives above everybody else's. It's, you know, it's the wrong way to put it. It, you know, certainly many, many people died in World War II in all kinds of ways. Jews were by far not the worst treated. And they, of course, were perpetrators quite often in the East. So I take it, you know, it's a very offensive notion. It implies Jewish supremacism, and that their lives are more significant than the lives of the Goyim.
Yes, absolutely. That is the that is so much so that it is, I think, a hallmark of people's, if you will, their recoiling at the suggestion or the very use of the buzzword Holocaust denier. That term sends people into I guess many people, not all anymore, many have become desensitized to it, yet in general, it is still used effectively to be a killer term, you know, a term that gets the attention, stops all conversation, all debate, all questioning, and that is what it's meant to do, is to say, hey, sit up, take notice, I am superior, you are inferior, now you listen to me. And that's the projection, you know, the image that is projected by what they call world Jewry. That has always been the case in my lifetime. And, of course, you know, you've been around for a shorter period of time, but wherever we've heard that term bandied about, whether it was in college or whether it was on television or what have you, you know, we'd always get a sense of a tingling of the spine. And, you know, that's what it's meant to convey, isn't it? I mean, you know, frightening. You know, you're not supposed to question anything we say. And then come along other people, including some of their own, and say, well, wait a minute now. What about this and what about that? And you're not exactly accurate. You know, it's just amazing because when these films and books, really a few years ago, about last decade, really started mushrooming, you know, with regard to the Holocaust industry, I found it interesting that the wire services, the AP, which they own, came out and they had reported that one of the books that was about to be published on the Holocaust was Angel on the Fence. And so they pulled that title, Angel on the Fence, out of circulation. They said, no, the book could not be written, the movie could not be made, because it was a story that was made up between two people. Now, I laughed, you know, I mused at that, because I said that was made up. I mean, let's go beyond that particular aspect and let's deal with the whole theory of the Holocaust, which it is, as we know, a theory, because a theory is nothing more than a, you know, like a postulation of something, an assertion. And if you don't have sufficient evidence to back it up, but you simply use the power and control of the media to enforce it and law, then it is still an unsubstantiated theory. So I just was amused at that particular part when that book, Angel on the Fence, had to be pulled. And I said, you know, there were countless others. Huh?
I remember that particular case.
Yeah.
It's one of rare times where these stories were so outrageous that they actually had to admit it and say, okay, we're not going to embarrass ourselves any further.
Yeah.
The stories are ridiculous. The Holocaust story.
All right. Yeah, we'll come right back to the Holocaust story. Folks, we're speaking with Professor Matt Johnson with me today, and you can join in if we have time. We'll take a call here and there, but we'll be right back after these messages. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we are back now. Don't forget the chat room here, deadlyexperiment.chatango.com. Rick Adams, Uncensored. Matt Johnson, my guest. And the resolution of this case now that had been, I guess, tried, what did you say, three times, has basically exonerated this man, Yushchenko. And he has been, what, the only one that has been tried under this law? Has it ended now, basically, with that verdict, Matt?
Yeah, Yushkov. His name is Roman Yushkov.
Yushkov.
Right, from Roman. Perm, which is an industrial city in the Urals, in the Ural Mountains, and northern Urals. And, yeah, it's... again, as I said before, you know, I mentioned that Medvedev had called a commission that this law is based upon, and the commission essentially was a fact finding. It had academics, it had security people on. It was called the Presidential Commission of the Russian Federation to counter attempts to falsify history to the detriment of Russia's interests. That was the name of the committee. I don't see the Jews in there. I don't see Holocaust in there. And that almost grand jury style committee was the foundation of the later law. The press calls it the Rehabilitation of Nazism Law. It's only relevant in the sense that malicious attacks on, you know, Russia's fight against the Third Reich are theoretically criminalized, but of course, in reality, they're not. Scholarship is never touched there, never has been, was never meant to be. And what this guy was doing was scholarly. He was reprinting things. And the funny thing is, when this guy was first indicted, it was an article that he wrote and then one that he had reprinted. All of his followers on VK, you know, the Russian Facebook, reprinted the article on their pages. You know, thousands of people reprinted it, saying, come get us all, you know?
Right.
And of course, nothing happened. It was a dead letter from the beginning. It was so absurd. As I said before, this was revenge for the Chabad organization against this man. And because of their arrogance here, it now became national news, not just in Russia, but China and Eurasia as well, how arrogant these people are. And it really backfired on them. So this really was never a Holocaust matter. They tried to make it one. Even if it were, now they say, you know, we simply aren't in the business of criminalizing ideas. Anything having to do with, you know, motivations or ideologies or the numbers or anything like that is absolutely beyond the law. And so for many years, there's been misinformation that Russia has this Holocaust denial law. It isn't true. And even if it were, it's not true anymore. So that's the significance of this thing here.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You see, that's important to eliminate a lot of the misinformation and disinformation that people have accumulated about this. So the alt media as well, I'm afraid, is guilty of this in addition to just the propaganda media. And that's too bad because they have taken over large parts of it, you know, where they've countermanded the alt media to the point where they're sowing a lot of disinformation from both points of view. And that is something that I think many people are not perceptive enough to be able to discern. You know, that's why whenever I do watch or listen to the evening propaganda, the media, the news, I take every single word with a grain of salt. I just have to, because I know that somebody, some group of people, and they're all singing the same tune, has written a script, and they have written a script. And all, what you have on television is bobbing, weaving heads, anchors that really just simply read off a teleprompter. You have these so-called feature producers and these interviewers that are following the same script, and I see it all the time. So whatever the headline is, whatever the story may be, I'm very suspicious, and quite frankly, I don't even know if there's any truth to it. So we put it out there, and we report it, and that's why I say to the audience, reportedly, much of the time, and when I just say this is, you know, this is a news item, that's a news item, you know, again, we have to take everything now, everything in this dark and sinister, you know, disinformation world with a grain of salt. It's just incredible, but I'm up against this all the time, because I ask people, Matt, like you would, how do you know that's true? Well, it was in the paper. Wait a minute. How do you know it's true? Well, I saw it. Wait a minute. Hold on. What did you see on TV? What exactly did you see? And they say, well, I say, well, you hummada, hummada, hummada. Yeah, well, what did you see? You saw a report. You saw a claim, and you saw it repeated from different angles by the other media. But what did you actually see with regard to a synagogue shooting in Philadelphia or in Pittsburgh or in Maryland? What did you see with regard to any other attack, any other false flag attack? Did you actually see a crime committed? Did you actually see footage? Did you actually see evidence? No, but, you know, no but. And this is why it's very important for people to straighten out their heads, you see, and do what you do as a professor, as a scholar, and what I do here as a host to try to cut through all of the manure and the minutiae. You know?
Well, as I've said, the key is specialization. You know, we have people who are deep into the tax issue, public policy, some like, you know, Israel in the Middle East, some do the Constitution, I do Russia and Ukraine, some people do China, you know, Africa. You know, we need to focus on an area and get deep into it. So there's no way, you know, someone who tries to pretend that they know everything ends up getting blown away in a debate, and they look ridiculous.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back, and folks, talking with Matt Johnson, I have to ask him about the latest going on right now with Ukraine and Russia. We'll return with more in just a moment.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, and we're back now with Matt Johnson. And Matt, I'd like to ask you right now a little bit about this whole business that has been reported, again, having to do with Russia coming to a state of conflict in the seas. I guess it's the Kerch Strait between Russia and the Ukraine. And the way it's been reported typically is that Russia has engaged in another aggressive act. Mr. Trump claiming, of course, based on that, he would cancel any upcoming summit for the time being with Putin. So what is being actually done here? What actually has happened? And what are the facts as far as you can determine?
You know, a long time ago, I discovered a law of social science, which I named after myself, Johnson's Law. And the law states that the more obscure the country or the region, the more the press realizes they can get away with lying about it. Either they lie about it deliberately, or they just don't know that much about it, but don't care because there's not that many people who can correct them. And that's been the case with Russia constantly. What's happening there is the following. First of all, the Ukrainian government has no legality. It took over in a coup sponsored by the U.S. in 2014.
Yes.
It's a purely cosmopolitan, you know, capitalist power. They have no connection with Ukraine whatsoever. They're broke. Their currency is worthless. Their army mostly deserted to Russia during the civil war there. They function entirely on loans from the IMF and from the U.S. that they know they'll never see again. That's their economy now. And I guess, you know, prostitution. That's pretty much it at this point. And, you know, what's happening there is apparently Russia had told any foreign, especially foreign warships, going through the strait to the Black Sea, you have to get clearance from us. Especially Ukraine, of course, which has been in a state of war with Russia, thanks to the U.S. for a long time now. And a couple of ships from the Ukrainian Navy did not. They just barreled through the strait. They were hailed. They were warned many times. They didn't respond. So they were fired upon. Now, no one was killed. I think a few people were hurt. But that was that's the story. Now, there's been conflict over the Kerch Strait for a long time. This is really nothing new. This happens in between the two Koreas all the time. It was a deliberate provocation. But the reason for it is that there's an election year coming up. There's an election coming up very soon. The ruling party, President Poroshenko, is polling about between 5 and 8%. That's his approval rating.
Uh-huh.
And so what he's done is he created this conflict so he can declare martial law, which he has.
Yes.
And he is apparently going to suspend the election. He also can shut down dissenting voices. He could shut down any Russian language papers for the next 60 days. He can do it. And the election is going to be within that time frame, so he may just postpone or eliminate the election entirely. In creating a state of emergency, a state of martial law, he is hoping not only to be able to avoid the election, but to build support for him, in some kind of an emergency kind of patriotic rally. So that's what's happening here. It's a desperate, pathetic plea. The Russians did absolutely nothing wrong. Ukrainian Navy was told to do this and not to respond. The Russians did absolutely nothing wrong here, and it's an invented conflict so that he can declare martial law. And this is fully supported by the United States.
Oh, and the United States is in violation of all of the international law that it keeps referring to. And this is the part that is absolutely so stultifying. It is just amazing, in your face, empire stuff that reminds me of the old Holy Roman Empire. You don't cross the Rubicon, we do, you know. This is what is in your face today, where the United States is acting in a dictatorial manner, not only with regard to the Russians and regard to the Asians and regard to the Iranians, but in regard to the whole world. This is a global union, we're told, and we have to make our presence known in this united world so that we can all come together and bring about peace. Now, we may have to kill a few hundred more people or a billion, but eventually after that, we'll bring about peace. And, you know, that comes right out of Satan's handbook, comes right out of the Mossad, comes right out of the Talmud. This is what they're doing. And this Pompasso, whatever his name is, the Mike Pompeo, I call him Pompasso because he is a pompass, a total war hawk, one of those chicken hawks, one of those, I call him a chicken hawk. As far as I'm concerned, he is, regardless of what role he's had in the military. These guys sit on their perched estate. They give orders, and they want the whole world to sit up and notice. And that's what we did with the European Union and all of this post-war, post-World War II malarkey about, well, Hitler was going to take the whole of Europe, and he was going to unite and create a fortress Europe. And now we've done the very same thing that they accused the Germans of wanting to do. The very same thing with NATO, the NATO alliance, and what it has produced, nothing but perpetual conflict and war. So, I mean, everything is basically farcical, in my view. It is totally a hoax. And when we hear about these wars and conflicts and who's the newest bad guy today, Russia was the good guy in the 1920s and 30s, 40s, but today it is the bad guy. And the Ukrainians are the nice, innocent souls, you see, because the Ukrainians had been tar-brushed and totally glossed over by Walter Duranty and people of his ilk in the New York Times going back to the 20s, as we know. So this is a rather, I think it's rather arrogant, as all empires are, that they, the powers that be keep telling everybody else, Russia, Iran, and so forth, that you're stepping on our toes. That's like, you know, like an elephant saying to an ant, get out of the way, you're trying to push me over. I mean, really, it's absurd, isn't it?
Well, you know, frankly, I think the United States is a paper tiger militarily. It's lost every war it was ever in since Korea. The only reason it won World War II is because the Soviet Union was doing most of the fighting. I think that the U.S. military could never handle the alliance between Russia and China. They're only good at bombing targets that can't shoot back. When someone shoots back, it's a big problem for them.
So
nothing's going to happen there. China is heavily invested in Crimea. And of course, the Kerch Strait attaches itself to the Crimea. And so any warfare there is going to bring China into the conflict. But Russia and China have an alliance anyway, which would include Armenia and Iran and Kazakhstan and everything else. And with the U.S. overstretched the way it is, with no money, no morale, half the Navy planes can't fly. They're 800 pilots short in the Air Force. No one wants to fly for them, no matter how many hundreds of thousands of dollars they get. It's a complete disaster. Nothing is going to happen here. Russia has largely divested itself of American debt. China's in the process of doing it. There's massive pressure on the dollar downward. The Federal Reserve is in a state of panic.
Yes.
Russia has just signed huge natural gas and oil contracts with the Chinese. And because of the sanctions on Russia, that means only that the Chinese are able to come in and take over the slack. The Russian economy is growing. Russia has no debt.
So then the sanctions actually are a hook, backfiring.
But I say the sanctions are the best thing that's happened to the Russian economy. It's permitted Vladimir Putin to take over the central bank and nationalize it. It's permitted him to, and in the process, dump the dollar. They have their own, well, sort of like South Africa in the 80s. They have their own credit card processing company, the Mir. They have their own institutions now. They simply don't need the West. The West is drowning in debt and poverty and inequality and destruction, and they're being invaded by these hordes from Africa. You know, who needs them? The future is in the East, and this is, you know, and it's a shame about the West, but Russia is in no danger here, and it's only hurting Western interests, because frankly, you know, the German capitalists have said, we're not going to follow these sanctions. If you don't tell Mercedes-Benz and Siemens, you know, we tell you. No, they're making a lot of money in China. The French, the Turks want out of NATO. I believe that Germany's going to want out of the EU very soon, because you can't tell them you have to pull their finances back from Russia, where they're making a lot of money. Russia and Germany are huge trading partners. It's an absolute disaster. The only allies the U.S. can count on now is Great Britain and Japan. That's all I could see. If there was ever any kind of war, the world would close ranks around Russia, China. India has now largely sided with Russia. Turkey is pretty much out of NATO and is signing all these deals with the Chinese now. You know, it's failed. The U.S. is a disaster area. It was the shortest empire in world history. It's kind of like a guy who used to be rich and who lost all his money but still thinks he's wealthy and is running around telling everyone what to do and he has no power. It's a pathetic sight, you know, and that's what the U.S. is essentially right now. Couldn't happen to a better bunch of people.
Yeah, right, and that is what I told you years ago, and you sort of thought about it after I said it and said, you know, that you're onto something, and that is that these wars and these militaristic adventures are not made to increase the strength and stature of America, but to bring her down. And this is because those who are the sons of Cain, the daughters of Cain, those who are working to destroy their host, okay, the parasites within, since the beginning of the previous century, have always found a way to destroy their host from within, with the Federal Reserve, the income tax, and, of course, the whole business of appointing and then electing senators to the United States Senate. They had it all, they figured, right in the palm of their hand, Matt. They had this country where they could control it electronically, electorally. They could do it through the whole corrupt system of banking. And this is what they've done. The country that becomes the empire is the country that must be destroyed. It must be destroyed from within, and it will destroy itself. And that's exactly what was meant to be, going back to the investigation of the tax-exempt foundations in the 50s, finding out that they were subsidizing the very people they supposedly were at war against, you know, the so-called anti-capitalists, financing of communist SDS and so forth. All of this now is evident, I think, you see.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. The point you made a while ago was profound. This isn't about American victory. It's about an American defeat.
Right.
But, you know, I come from a military family, but I'm vehemently opposed to the U.S. military. It's an extremely liberal institution. Feminism dominates it. The homosexual rights movement, they have diversity days. They have homosexual days. Yep. And this is what they're imposing on the rest of the world. And it's destroyed their morale. They have affirmative action hiring. Morale is pretty much zero. And, you know, frankly, I'd like to see them go up against a group that could actually shoot back. I think the U.S. is going to be massacred. And the minute there's dead soldiers coming home and the U.S. can't hide it, the American population is going to say, we want out. We're finished with it. The U.S. couldn't handle Somalia, let alone the combination of Russia, China, India, and Iran and a whole bunch of other places. And frankly, I really don't think the U.S. is going to be so stupid as to engage all of these countries in a military conflict with its terrible record. They're doing all these war games. They're you know, they're being as arrogant as possible. They're massing troops in the Baltics, in Poland, in Romania. And Putin has outmaneuvered them each and every time. He's not taking the bait. He's refusing to fall, and they can't take it. And so they invent stuff like an invasion of Ukraine, invasion of Crimea. They invent things that have no foundation. They're stealing the elections. Absolute humorous. It's so comically laughable that this is what these all-powerful people are now reduced to, because the Russians have stared them down. Now, at least, you know, Hitler's case, he created prosperity. He created a great degree of income and equality. He had high morale. What NATO's doing is spreading poverty and disease around the world and homosexuality. That's a big difference. It's the same form, but a very, very different content. So you're absolutely right.
Historically, that has always been the fall of nations and civilizations, what they're doing now. And that's why I say the word strength. Our strength is in creating fear around the world. No, that's quite the contrary. You don't have strength in creating hatred and fear of your people. What you have is weakness, and the weakness of moral decay. That's exactly what America is representative of today. And the Holy Roman Empire is certainly, emulated here today more than ever before. The parallels are just enormous. Well, I got to ask you a little bit now about the Middle East, but more particularly about all the nations of the world that seem to be enticed to play the whore game with Jerusalem now. As you know, some of them are holding back. Some of them have already opened embassies in Jerusalem following Trump's announcement. What do you think is going on with regard to the Eastern European and Central European countries now, particularly the Czechs and the Poles and the Hungarians? There seems to be a real pushback against world Zionism on the part of the public, the population. How about the leaders and the bought and paid for, in some cases, leadership of some of those regimes?
Well, I've been talking quite a bit about the governments in Poland and Hungary. They have essentially given the finger to the EU. They refuse to let any of the so-called migrants in. The irony of that is that the Poles, you know, they're threatened with sanctions. You have to let all these people in from North Africa, whatever. And the Poles said, "Wait a minute, we're taking thousands of refugees from the Ukrainian civil war. What about those migrants?" And they were told they're the wrong color. So it isn't about migrants. It's about destroying the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And these countries, again, partially because of very close trade with both Germany and Russia, are nationalist governments, statist governments, and are doing extremely well. So as Europe is collapsing, Poland and Hungary are doing very, very well. These are firmly nationalist governments. Liberalism in both those countries has almost no support. You know, the opposition to Putin in Russia, the pro-Western liberal parties, have never been able to get more than 5% combined. And that's with massive CIA subsidy. As I mentioned, Poroshenko in Ukraine can't get more than 5 or 8%. These are just unpopular. The fact is, when nationalism is put into practice, I don't care from, you know, from South Korea to Indonesia to Burma to Syria to Poland and Hungary to Germany, it works. It produces, it creates a strong population, a strong economy, low debt. It's in these parts of the world, we're doing okay. I don't care if the U.S. puts its embassy in Jerusalem. You know, does Trump really think that they're going to leave him alone because he does that? You know, Trump knows the Jews. You know, he competed with them in the real estate market in Manhattan when I was growing up, when I was a kid. He knows them. He knows this isn't going to work. You know, he's trying to throw a few bones. Maybe they'll leave him alone. And, of course, it's never going to happen.
No, quite the contrary. No, he's given them more to chew on.
Yeah, and not having this meeting with Putin. I'm sure Putin has shrugged his shoulders. They won't really need you.
Well, poor sixth Trump of revelation. Poor Donald, what do they call him now? Forrest Trump. All right. Hey, folks, we'll take some calls if you have any questions for Matt Johnson. Rick Adams, Uncensored, 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back in either case.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. Rick Adams Uncensored. We have Professor Matt Johnson with me today. And if you have a question or a comment, anything to do with what's going on right now, vis-a-vis the United States, the European Union, NATO, and Russia and the Ukraine, or anything else, then give us a jingle. Tickle the phone at 1-800-313-9443. And, you know, Matt, there are people who are very, very much interested in this question having to do with freedom of thought and the fact that those who call themselves Judah and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan, do not believe in freedom of thought. They do not believe in any kind of inquiry or any kind of investigation of any event, historical or current, unless it's kosher approved. And it seems to be backfiring on them in many ways, ironically, both at home in occupied Palestine and around the world, in occupied America particularly, where they would love to be able to impose a hate law statute. They've been doing it now with this business of hate crimes, this whole new philosophy of shootings taking place, motivated by hatred. Hatred of Jews, hatred of blacks, hatred of this or that. It's always some white guy or white girl or somebody who's connected to the military, interestingly enough, that's always fingered. And, you know, I find that to be typical of some of the strategies that have been used in the past. Do you find anything here in common with the old Bolshevik Soviet Union in the way that some of them are operating today, are playing the game? Propaganda game?
Yeah, the Reds were absolutely masters of propaganda, and unfortunately their opponents were not. One of the reasons that the communists won the Russian Civil War is that the whites had no idea how to connect with the population. They didn't really have a coherent ideology. They were a big coalition, but the communists had a very firm ideology that they would give. They didn't really believe what they were telling the people, but that was their cover story, and it was very simple and firm. But the way that the Bolsheviks took over from 1918 to 1921, the methods that they used, you could find it everywhere. Whenever there was a peasant rebellion, especially now in the 1930s under Stalin, when during collectivization, if there was any kind of peasant organization, there were many of them. There were constant low-level civil wars in Russia right up until the German invasion. Cheka forces or NKVD forces would dress up in peasant garb, wearing whatever armband, whatever the peasant group, and start massacring people.
Yes.
They've been doing that a long time. The communists were doing that. I just had a talk about El Salvador in the 80s.
Right.
The Reds did it there too. It's very typical. They know how to manipulate people psychologically, and Jews in particular have this, you know, they dominate the psychological field, and they really have it over on the right traditionally, and it's one of their big advantages over the last century. There's no question about it. So yeah, there's very many parallels.
Yes, by way of deception, we do war, they say in the Mossad handbook, don't they? I think we've got our break coming up now. We have call, and we'll take a call or two when we come back. So stay with me if you can, Matt Johnson, and we'll continue, folks. We'll be right back with Matt Johnson and your calls, Rick Adams Uncensored, here on Republic.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free, for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN.